morning, everybody. It's good to be back just in time to wish you all a Chag Sameach. I think this will be our last class before Pesach, and B'ezras Hashem, we will resume after Pesach. So as usual, the shiur is dedicated and devoted to Pesach, and in this case it's going to be the Haggadah. We usually study the Haggadah. Now, these beautiful, beautiful handouts over here, you can be absolutely certain that I didn't do it. I haven't yet learned how to do it. This Phil did for me, and I want to thank him for it. And he even did things I didn't ask for, but they're all great. You have to get a picture of the structure of the Haggadah. We all know about Kadesh Urechatz, we say Kiddush, we wash our hands, we break the matzah, we pick it up and we say Halach Mo'anya. Rabbi Adler was talking about that. Then comes the Manishtana, the four questions that are asked, why is this night different than all other nights of the year? And then begins the response is, Avodah Vayinu L'Farah V'Mitzchayim, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and would God not have taken us out, we would have remained enslaved to Pharaoh, we and our children forever. And then the Haggadah goes on to tell us the story. The Haggadah goes on to tell us the story of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, who conducted a Seder in B'nai Brak, and they talked about the story. They related the story of the Exodus from Egypt all night until their students came and told them, Avoteinu, Hegiyas ban Kriyat Moshel Shachris, the time for Kriyat Shema in the morning has begun. Then the Haggadah goes on to tell us that relating the story of the Exodus from Egypt has to be geared to the varying needs of children. Torah talks about four different kinds of children who are listening to the story. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Meshein Yadei Elisha. We have to take into consideration the differences between them, and parents have to be aware of that. So we talk about the four sons. After the four sons, once we're finished with that, we go further and we describe the background of the Mitzrayim experience. We're not yet talking. Note, we are not yet telling the story. We've only said one broad sentence about we were slaves and God took us out. And then we're told how you're supposed to be related. Different children, different means of communicating with them. Then, as I say, we're up now to the point of the background, and the background goes to the covenant that was entered into between God and Avraham Avinu, the Brit Bein HaBatoran, the covenant between the pieces, where God tells Avraham, Yadoa Teda, you should know that your children will be strangers, Be'eretz Lo Lahem, in a land that doesn't belong to them, Va'avodim Ve'inu Otam, and they will enslave them, and they will torture your children 400 years, V'gamas HaGoy Asher Yavodu Don Anochi, that people who will enslave them, I will judge them, and I will make them into a great nation. And then, V'hishom d'la'avoteinu v'lanu, that great covenant between God and Avraham Avinu, that God has entered into a treaty with the Jewish people, which therefore now graces us with the blessing of eternity, just as God is eternal, so are his people eternal. We've done about a third of the Haggadah, I think. About a third of the Haggadah already. And we have not yet begun to relate the story of the Exodus. the special mitzvah of the night of Pesach is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. At what point do we begin to tell the story in earnest? When do we? That comes at the moment at which we say, Say Ulamad. Say Ulamad begins the story. But before we read Say Ulamad, Phil put in the Mishnah in Pesachim over there, and it's important to learn it. Mosgul okay kosheni. They have poured the second kos. During the first kos was already the kiddush that was done, taken care of. Mosgul okay sheni. You pour the second cup. The kan haben shoyel oviv, and here the son asks his father. If the son does not yet have the intelligence to ask, father teaches him. All nights of the year we eat either chametz or matzah, or chametz and matzah. This night it's only matzah. All nights we eat all sorts of vegetables, halayl azem, morah, we have to eat morah, mitzvah to eat morah. So the chalal lelos, now the Mishnah is now going to say a question that does not appear in our Haggadahs, because this is a question that was asked only at the time when there was a Bet HaMikdash and there was a Korban Pesach that was brought on Erev Pesach and then eaten at the Seder. So the question then was, Shabbat Aleinu, on all nights on the earth we eat basar tzli, meat that is roasted, shaluk, intensely cooked, or mevushal, cooked in a normal fashion. Halayla zeh, this night, kulo tzli, it all has to be roasted. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach was that the whole shepsala, all shepsala, in a sense it retained its form, was like a chicken on a barbecue. So you see the chicken up here, it's like the whole chef's cellar was roasted. And Shabbat Aleilu Sonam Adbilim Pamachat, and all night we dunk once, Halayla Zesh, stay from him this night two times, Ulfidato Shel Ben Oviv Milando, depending on the intelligence of the son, so the father teaches him, Matchil Bignut. The story always has to begin with the unsavory and unhappy beginnings of our people, and then you end with the praise. I believe Rabbi Adler must have been speaking about that. There's a machloket in the Gemara. What is the gnut, that unhappy part of our early beginnings? Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. One says we're supposed to begin with Mitchila Ovdei Aveda Zora Hoyu Avoteinu. At first, our fathers were idolaters. He talked about the Geisa Zayde Terach, and then we end up by saying, but now we are no longer idolaters. God has brought us to serve Him. He brought us to Sinai. He gave us Torah. We are servants of God. And there is another opinion that says that we begin with the immediate physical unhappiness of the Jewish people. Avodah Mayim, we were slaves to Paro, and now he took us out. The fact is that in the Haggadah, we incorporate both of them. But we begin with Avodah Mayim, and then a little bit further on in the Haggadah, we do a flashback of Mitchila, at the very dawn of our family history, we were idolaters, and now we no longer are. Now, how did Phil know to do this? This is the last line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "V'doresh me'arami oved avi ad sheyigmor kol ha'parsha kula." You have to study from Arami Oved Avi, those three words, Archi Yigma Kola Parsha Kula, until you complete the entire Parsha. What is Arami Oved Avi? Arami Oved Avi is called the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim, that which is read in the Beit HaMikdash by somebody who brings the first fruits. It's in Sefer Dvarim, famous Parsha Ki Tavo El Haaretz, it says when you come to the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha, that God gives you, so you are supposed to bring the first fruits, the Bikurim, you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. You should take from the first fruits of the earth, place it in a basket, bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, and you shall come to the Kohen, and you should say to him, I have said today to God that I've come to the land that God swore to our fathers to give to us. The Kohen will take the basket from your hand, place it before the altar, Va'nisa va'amarta. You don't have this here yet, but I'll tell you right away when you have what we're up to. Va'nisa va'amarta. You should lift your voice and you should say, it's a declaration. Every Jew brought first fruits he made, this declaration. Va'nisa va'amarta l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. You should lift your voice and say before God your God, Arami Oved Avi. Vayeded Mitzchaima. Arami Oved Avi. Well, the pshat in the Haggadah, we'll get back to this, is that the Arami Lavan wanted to destroy my father. And my father went down to Egypt. I'm reading the parsha, and I was just a few psukim. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus, the real story. We're not talking about all the introductions that come before. The story of the Exodus begins with Arami Oved Avi. Because here it is, 1,000 years after Jews have come into Eretz Yisrael, man brings first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, and he says, Lavan the Aramean wanted to destroy my father, and my father went down to Egypt, by Yorgosham, and he lived there, but Mesemi out there were just a few people, by Yisham, and there in Egypt he became Godol, a great nation, also mighty, for Rav and numerous. Here is this Jew, 1,000 years after the story. The Egyptians, they were bad to us. And they tortured us. And they placed heavy work upon us. And we cried out to God, the God of our fathers, and God heard our voice. And he saw et onyenu. He saw our pain and our toil, vet lachatzenu, and the pressure and the oppression that we felt. And he took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with fearsome and great signs and miracles. What we're going to do is what every Jew says when he brings first fruits. Our rabbis took and made that the text of the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Because the fact is, it emerges according to the halacha that there are two times that you're supposed to tell the story. Torah clearly says the man who brings Bikurim is supposed to tell the story. The night of Pesach, it's a mitzvah to tell the story. But for the night of Pesach, Torah does not give us a text. So obviously, the most logical thing to do is that other mitzvah where one should relate the story of the Exodus, where the Torah did give us a text, that's the text that now becomes the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And when the Mishnah said, V'doresh me'arami oved avi, doresh means you're going to learn out of it. You're not simply going to say the words, but on nearly every phrase is going to be expanded on by bringing earlier sources. As we get into it, you'll see that this is what we're so used to since childhood, but that's the structure. The structure is the parsha of Mikra Bikurim, that which is read by a Jew who brings first fruits. And we have Doresh meaning that we take nearly each phrase, and you'll see soon why I said nearly each phrase, because not every phrase is elaborated on, and it is elaborated on by by referring to previous texts. You watch. Rav Soloveitchik says, of course, that from here we learn that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of the Exodus from Egypt, it is a form of Torah study. We're learning a parsha in Torah. We're learning 5-6 psukim in Torah, and we are elaborating on them. All right. What we also have to remember is Archiyigmar Kola Parsha Kula, until you complete the whole parsha. That's a very strange statement, because the fact is that we don't read the whole parsha on the night of Pesach. This is a shiur of 10, 15, I don't know, 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Do you know what we leave out on the night of Pesach? Following the psukim that I brought in the Haggadah, it says, Vayivienu el amakom hazeh, the man who brings the first fruit says, and he brought us el amakom hazeh to this place, Vayiten mono, and he gave us es ha'aretz hazos, he gave us this land, Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now after he may have I brought the first of the fruits of the earth. Strange. Why don't we say that pasuk? And a great deal has been said about the fact that we don't really complete the whole parsha. Obviously, what the mission means is that we complete the whole parsha that is necessary to be said the night of Pesach. But we don't say Vayivienu al hamakom hazeh. A great deal has been said about it, but I have my own approach to it. It's, remember, what was it, 2-3 years ago, there was somebody who wrote an article that this is, he doesn't understand how religious Zionists can go ahead and read the Haggadah in its present structure. What are you talking about? Leaving out the most significant pasuk in the parsha of Mikra Bikurim, the pasuk that says, and God brought us to this land, thank God for bringing us to this land. It seems like we leave it out. And the fact is, therefore, he says, it's not enough to have four cups corresponding to the four words of redemption, V'hotzeisi, V'yitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, but there's a fifth. The fifth is V'heveiti, and I will bring them to the land. And Shana Acharka, what kind of business is this? So, alright, so I understand. These kind of things unnerve me and upset me. Because I had proven in that year that one thing that is not omitted from the Haggadah is Eretz Yisrael. By no means whatsoever. But the Haggadah is going to bring a pasuk that is far more powerful and far more significant in order to create the relationship between the Exodus from Egypt and the arrival in Eretz Yisrael. In that famous, that great last paragraph of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, you don't have it here, Phil didn't go that far. The very last paragraph of the of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Bechol Dor V'Dor. In every generation, Chayav Adam Liras Satzma, a person is supposed to see himself as though he came out of the land of Egypt. In other words, we have to be able to relive the experience, the Exodus experience. Shenema Mehigadot Olevinuchav Yomahu Lema, you shall tell your son on that day, saying, Barvor Zeb, because of all of this, all of these mitzvahs, God did this for me when I came out of Egypt. Lo et avotenu b'levad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was not our fathers alone that God redeemed, el avotanu gal himayim, he also redeemed us with them, shenema. A pasuk is quoted here, which is the very end of the real Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story. Because right after this pasuk is going to begin the section of Hallel Shevach V'Hodoyah, praise, thanksgiving. Lefichav, therefore, Nachnu Chayovim, therefore we are obligated to praise and to thank God. That's going to be the last third of the Haggadah. There's a third of the Haggadah that introduces Sipui Yetzias Mitzrayim. From Tzeil Lamad until the end of the Chol Dor V'Dor, that is the Sipur, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And from there on and further comes praise and thanksgiving. And that last pasuk, with which it ends, is a pasuk in Dvarim that says, Rotsonu, Osonu Hotzi Misham, God took us out of there, Leman Havi Otanu, in order to bring us, Latet Lanu et Ha'aretz Hashem Nishbar Lavoteinu, in order to bring us and give us the land that he swore to our fathers. Do you know what this pasuk does that is not done by any other pasuk in Tanakh? Over here, the direct relationship is made between Yetzias Mitzrayim and coming into the land, that the purpose, the objective, the goal of it all was that Jews should come into Eretz Yisrael. There is no other pasuk that makes that connection. Even the pasuk of the Hevesi at the beginning of Parshat Vayera lists, I did this, I did that, I did the next thing, and I will bring you to the land of Egypt. But, these are a number of things happening in succession. There's no indication that they are all interrelated and inextricably intertwined. But this pasuk, Rosanu Hotzi Misham, he took us out of there, Laban. Laman always means the ultimate goal, the objective, the purpose, was in order to bring us to the land that he swore to our fathers. That was the goal, that was the objective. Sinai, Torah, the journey through the desert was, we had to pick up Torah on the way to Eretz Yisrael, because we'll never survive in Eretz Yisrael without Torah. Torah, of course, is absolute necessity. You have to get Jews out of Egypt, you have to give them Torah, Leman, in order to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. So I saw it again in the new Haggadah, the new Haggadah of the, see this, I'm sure, an exalted night, what is it? Rav Soloveitchik on the Haggadah. Everybody has Haggadah, he has great stuff here. So, but here I happen to, he says that Eretz Yisrael is not mentioned here because Eretz Yisrael was not the destiny of the Jewish people, but a destination. A destination and not a destiny. Ya'ad avaloyiud. Ya'ad avaloyiud. I don't know. In all humility, I disagree with that statement. Eretz Yisrael was the Yad, as the pasuk that I quoted in the Haggadah says, "Valsonu hotzi misham," he took us out of there, "Lema'am, lema'am haviotam," in order to bring us to Eretz Yisrael. That was the purpose of the Exodus. That was the purpose. Torah says it, not me. I didn't make up the pasuk. This is not a white and blue pasuk. This is exactly what the Rebbeinu himself says in Torah Bulls. Tanu Hotzi Misham, Leman Hovio Tanu Nerv. Alright, say Leman, that's enough. But how many times have you wondered, what does say Leman mean? Say Leman. Mad Vikesh Lovan Ha Adam Yilasos Yaakov Avinu. Learn what Lovan, the Aramean, tried to do to our father Yaakov. Sheparul Gozer El Alazachon and Paro only decreed against the males. The Lavan Bike Shlakras Hakol Lavan wanted to uproot all of Israel. As it says, Arami Ovedami. Here it is, here we begin quoting from the Mikra Bikurim. Arami Ovedami, the Arameans sought to destroy my father, by Yedid Mitzchayim, and he went down to Egypt, by Yogar Shom, and lived there in the same Me'at. They were just a few people, not many. By Yishon, Legoy Godol, Otsum Varav, and there he became a mighty nation, strong and many. Alright. That means the dark letters, that's the pasuk in Parshat Devarim, Parshat Kitavon. Now we are going to the dissect the pasuk. We're going to dissect the pasuk phrase by phrase. But wait a minute. Not really. Because the dissection or the elaboration begins with the words Vayeder Mitzchaimon, and he went down to Egypt. And by the way, all of this is taken from the Sifri, the Medrash of the Tanoim on Sefer Devarim. Vayeder Mitzchaimon went down to Egypt, onus al pi hadibur, compelled by the divine decree. But wait a minute. There are three words that we have not elaborated on. Arami, Ovei, Ovi. By the way, did you ever wonder what does the Haggadah want from poor Lavan's life? What do you want from Lavan? Lavan is yet worse than Tara. What are you doing? What did Lavan want to do anyway? What did Lavan want to do? Go tell me something. What? He put Jacob in concentration camps. What did he do? And here we come, every Pesach night, give Mezecha Zetzavek, and we wipe out this fellow Lavan. What did Lavan do? So you have to understand, first of all, the reason why it says Tsei Ulamad, go out and learn, what it was that Lavan Harami wanted to do to Yaakov. The Medrash does not describe what he wanted to do. So a number of the Mepharshim say, because you just have to know that whole parasha. You have to know the whole story of Yaakov and Lavan. And that would be going far beyond the confines of what it is that we want to describe on the night of Pesach. Say Ulamad, you have to go study that parsha very carefully. And if you take a look at it very carefully, you're going to see the designs of a Lavan. And the way you have to do it is simply by taking a closer look at that parsha. I mean, I could quote just a few brief psukim, but the fact is that the whole relationship between Yaakov and Lavan was a one that was fraught with a tremendous amount of danger for Klal Yisrael for all time. Lavan was an idolater. Lavan was serious pagan and heathen, and he wanted Yaakov and his family to follow in the footsteps of the Tata and the Zayda Lavan. And there were a number of steps that he took. First of all, he took steps to keep Yaakov in his home out in Aram. Yaakov came only to marry and go back. He ends up 7 years, 14 years, another 7 years. All of this time is time that is fraught with great danger. He causes him tremendous pain. He changes the terms of his employment 100 times over. He wants to keep Yaakov poor, poverty-stricken, penurious, so that he would be completely dependent on Lavan. It is only through great miracles, God's divine intervention, that Yaakov is able to emerge with a family and with his wealth from the house of Lavan. Yaakov has to flee from the house of Lavan when he's not there. Can you imagine? You have to start using your imagination over here. Say Lamar. He flees from the house of Lavan when Lavan isn't there. What is it that Lavan holds over him? We can't begin to imagine the pressure, the surroundings. This man was a tyrannical person. And why is Yaakov so intent? He wants to go back. He wants to go back. And by the way, he doesn't flee from the house of Lavan until an angel appears to him at night in the name of God and says, "Get out, go, go." He needs divine intervention. He says to his wives, and where does he speak to his wives? When he wants to tell them his plans for the great escape, he takes them out into the field where nobody can listen in. There's an atmosphere of terror and fear in the house of Laban. What do his wives, what do Rachel and Leah say to him? We are like strangers in this house. We have no family. We have no father. We are light years away from him. We are distant. We suffer from him terribly. The purpose of Laban all along was to make sure that he will hold Yaakov in his family and his family within his grasp. And even when Yaakov finally flees, I mean, we can't even imagine, he flees. He runs after him in order to bring him back.
Yeah.
Now, as he is pursuing, and it says, Vayivrach hu v'chol ha-shalo. I mean, it's so ignominious, it's so shameful that Yaakov has to flee from the house of Laban. Vayivrach hu v'chol ha-shalo. He fled. Vayakum, he got up and he crossed the river and he set his direction to the mountains of the Gilad toward Eretz Yisrael. As I tell us, you know why? Because Rachel was pregnant. And you know what was necessary for the completion of that family of Yaakov? One child had to be born in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal. That means time is now pressing Yaakov in a way it never did. Binyamin has to be born in Eretz Yisrael. One of the tribes has to be born there. The Binyamin who is later going to be called Yedid Hashem, the beloved of one of God. And the one, the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Harabayit was in the within the boundaries of the tribe of Binyamin. He has to flee, and he and Laban pursues him, and he catches up with him by Argilah. Now, to know the extent to which Laban posed a threat to Yaakov, God has to appear to Laban the Aramean in a dream at night, and he says to him, this is God speaking to Laban, Yishorolecha, be careful. Pen to daberim Yaakov mitovad ra, lest you speak with Yaakov from good or evil. That pasuk is so full of meaning. God wants to make sure that Laban will not cause any harm whatsoever to Yaakov. That means without God's intervention, Laban did have the power and the ability to cause harm to Yaakov. And not only that, he says to him, so all right, so God tell him, don't say anything bad to him. Why me tov? Because even the good of Laban can be very dangerous to Yaakov. Yaakov is being under the influence of a Laban is a prime candidate for a total assimilation into a pagan and heathen society. As you read the Pasha, you see it becomes clear. It becomes clear. And after Yaakov's great speech, and he tells him, God, the terrible things you did to me. What does Laban say? Habonim bonai, the children are my children. Habonos benosai, the daughters are my daughters. The chola shera tovawe, and whatever you see here, it's all mine, it's all mine. He sees Yaakov as his personal possession. And he had it within his power to destroy him either physically or what he really wanted was emotionally and spiritually. Say ulamad. This is a sheer that has to be understood in the words Tsei Ulamad. Go out and learn what Laban Ha'arami wanted to do. And if this is a powerful statement of the Haggadah, that Laban was worse than Paro. So we have to understand that he was a grave danger to the tells it, but you know, you have to see where it in fact is stated in Torah, and therefore about Arami Ovid, it says say about go out and study that, just study that parasha, and you'll see what a grave threat Lavan was to Yaakov. Vayeded Mitzchayim, and he went down to Egypt. Onos al pi hadibur. What does it mean? Compelled. God didn't really tell Yaakov Avinu to go down to Mitzchayim. You know what onos al pi hadibur means? He was compelled al pi hadibur through God's words. God had created all of the circumstances that ultimately led Yaakov to go down to Mitzrayim. And you know where that begins? That begins with Yaakov sending Yosef to find out how his brothers are doing in Shechem. And everything that evolves, all of the events that take place afterwards, all of them have one purpose. The purpose was ultimately that Yaakov should go down to Mitzrayim. And instead of Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim, taken down as a slave, he is going to come to Mitzrayim with great honor as the father of the second in command of Mitzrayim. Onos al pi hadibur doesn't mean that God said, you must go to Mitzrayim. What God is doing is he's creating the atmosphere, the environment, all of the circumstances that are going to leave Yaakov with absolutely no choice but to go down to Egypt. Vayagor Sham. And he lived there. Malami, the word Vayagor always means something temporary. He lived there. It implies that he did not go down to settle in Egypt but only to live there temporarily. Malami Sulayor, Yaakovin, Lishtakev, Mitzchayim, Elulogor Sham, Shenema. Vayomru el Paro, they said to Paro, Lo Gur Ba'oretz Banu, we've come to live in the land, Ki Ein Mid El Atzon Hashel Avodecha, because there is no grazing land for the sheep that belong to your servants, Ki Kaved Haro Be'eretz Knan, because the famine, the hunger is severe in the land of Knan, V'ato, now Yeshu No Avodecha Be'eretz Goshen, let your servants live in the land of Goshen. Now, I'm just going to backtrack for a moment just to point out that there is a very great difference of opinion on the meaning of those three words, Arami, Ovei, Ovei. It's a machlokes between, on the one side, Targum Onkelos, Rashi, the Haggadah, on one side, the Evan Ezra, and the Rajban, on the other side. The problem with those three words, or rather, better said, one of the three words, Oved. The way we translate it is the Aramean wanted to destroy my father. Right? So therefore, who is the Aramean? The Aramean is Lavan, who wanted, and Haggadah says it very clearly. The Evan Ezra, because he was a great grammarian, says, Oved is not a transitive verb. Oved is, if the word would have meant that Lavan wanted to destroy my father, it would have said, Arami ma'avid ovi. Ma'avid. Oved is a verb, intransitive, doesn't apply to anything. So therefore, the Evan Ezra says, no, Arami, Oved, Ovi is a description of Yaakov. Oved meaning not destroy, or to destroy. The word Oved also in the word Aveda, lost. My father Yaakov was a wandering Aramean. Mm-hmm. There it is, went off over there, not knowing what's going to happen with him. According to the Evan Ezra, that's certainly not what is being said in the Haggadah. The Rashbam says, Arami Oved Ovi, you know who was the wandering or the lost Aramean? Avram Avinu. He came from Aram Naharayim. Mm-hmm. But it's quite clear that the Haggadah has taken the position of Rashi and Targum Unflus, or for that matter, Rashi and Targum Unflus took the position of the Haggadah, that the word Arami Oveid, and I understand why Rashi is saying it, Arami Oveid, it's not a transitive verb, it's not wanted to destroy. Arami Lovon is being described as an Oveid, a destroyer. Arami Oveid, a destroyer. This Aramian Lovon was a destroyer. Who did he want to destroy? Oveid. And that's even more powerful a description than saying the Arami wanted to destroy my father. It is describing the essential nature of Lavan as being the destroyer. Mm-hmm. I once said something similar. Oh God, time is running out. Vayikach Korach, and Korach took. And all the Mepharshim want to know, what did he take? It doesn't say in the pasuk. It says, and Korach took, and Dason, Tavidon, and On Ben Peles, Bnei Reuven, doesn't say what he took. What did he took? What did he take? He didn't get that, you know? What did he take? So Rashi therefore says, there also with Targum Unflus, he took himself aside and to be opposed to Moshe. Alright. I've wanted to say that the Pshat is, if you want a description of Korach, he's a taker. Vayikach Korach. Korach is a taker. There's something to be taken, he's going to be there to take it. Whatever he has is not enough. You have something I don't have? He's a taker. Arami Ovei, you want to know the essence of Lavan? You want to know what he is? Lavan is a taker, a destroyer. Lavan is a destroyer. And the one who's under his hand now is Yaakov, and he wants to destroy Yaakov. Lavan is a very, very frum idolater. He wants to make sure, you know, he wants to bring people to idolatry. That's what he wants. And therefore, of course, we can also see it by virtue of the fact that Rachel steals the idols. And when he finally catches up, what does he seem more excited about than anything else? You stole my deities. And he goes from tent to tent looking for it. He is a passionate idolater. Idolatry and murder are not too far from one another. Mm-hmm. The idolater is the one who rejects a divine presence. If you reject the divine presence, then you reject the idea that every man is created in the image of God. And if man is not created in the image of God, because there is no divine creator, then every evil in the world is permitted. There are no restraints whatsoever. Therefore, Arami is the great destroyer. In this elaboration that we're going to talk about now, as we go through this whole parasha, Dodesh, Arami Ogadavi, here also the Rav said, of Soloveitchik said on a number of occasions, there are two mitzvahs relating to the Exodus from Egypt. One is the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak Mitzchayim, the night of Pesach, to tell the story of the Exodus. And the other is Leman Tizkor, in order that you remember as young Seif Shom Eretz Mitzchayim, the day that you went out of Egypt, Kol Yemei Chayach, all the days of your life. So these are two mitzvahs. One is Zechira, remembering, mentioning, and the other is Sipur, related. There's a difference between the two mitzvot. Aside from the fact that the mitzvah of Zechira, remembering, is a mitzvah every day of the year, and the mitzvah of Sipur is only in the night of Pesach, mm-hmm. But it means the following. Zechira can be done in one mention. At the end of Kriyashma, we say, What's the last pasuk in Kedusha? Yeah, it's actually Tziyas Mitzrayim there. We mention it in the parish of Tzitzis, we say the, all right, I'll look it up, you know. You never get the psukim that are so, at the tip of your tongue, at the tip of your tongue. But here it is, I have a chumash that has a siddur in the back. Isn't that a... It has a siddur in the back, it has a tilim in the back. Amir Hashem Elokechem. Asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am God, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt. Liyot lachem l'lukim, to be a God unto you. Ani Hashem l'kechem. That's the last pasuk in Kriyat Shema. With that, we fulfill the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. But the mitzvah of Sipur requires first and foremost, it requires elaboration. It has to be a story. You can't be Yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim simply because you said Kriyat Shema in Mariv the night of Pesach. It requires elaboration. You have to describe the events surrounding it and all that happened. The mitzvah of Zechira is a private mitzvah. I say it to myself. I don't have to relate it to anybody else. The mitzvah of Sipur requires telling it to somebody. Mm-hmm. One can add to that as well the idea that in the first instance, the mitzvah of Sipur should be in response to a question. And therefore we do all of these things at the beginning of the Seder in order to arouse the curiosity of children so that we should evoke from them the question, and what I tell them is the response. Because that's the way it is described in Torah. Ki yishalcha bincha mocha lemar. When your son is going to ask you tomorrow, saying, V'higadatola bincha bayoma lemar. And you shall tell your child on that day, so say. Zechira is a mitzvah in, and remembering is a mitzvah in, is not a mitzvah in and of itself. In other words, in the 613 mitzvahs, you will have the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzchias Mitzchayim relating the story of the Exodus on the night of Pesach. You will not have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzchias Mitzchayim remembering it. Because the mitzvah of Zechira is subsumed under the category of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema, which includes Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, accepting upon ourselves the heavenly yoke. When did we accept upon ourselves the heavenly yoke? When Avodim Ayinu, the Pharaoh of Mitzrayim, we were slaves to God, to Pharaoh of Mitzrayim, and God took us out. So now we were no longer the slaves of Pharaoh, now we have become the slaves, the Avodim
of the Hashem.
So that, you know, we have to translate the word Eved differently in each case. So Pharaoh, we were slaves.
Yeah.
God, we served. Not a bad sentence? Malka liked it. Malka liked it. Then it's good. We're not, when the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Avdi Moshe made. The first words of our Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, at the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, Avdi Moshe made. He never meant to say, my slave Moshe is dead. Never. My servant. So while the word Eved in Hebrew can be used in different contexts, meaning different things, it cannot be translated in the same way into English. Sipur Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim requires not only to be elaborate in detail, not only is it something that must be told to somebody, it also requires Shevach, praise, the Hodoya, and thanksgiving. You can't simply tell the story and stop there. It entails everything, as we said, immediately after the Kol Dora Dora Chayev Adam Liris Yadom Lefichal, therefore, Anachu Chayev, we are obligated to thank and to praise and to exalt God, and then we're going to say Hallel, of course, first part of Hallel we're going to say before the meal, the rest of Hallel after the meal. And in this context, also something that we threw in the middle, the Zechidat Yitzias Mitzrayim, mentioning it or remembering it, it is not through Limud HaTorah, through study of Torah. Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim is a din in Limud Torah, we're studying Torah. We are darshaning Arami Ovedali. We're going through each word and we are studying each word carefully. Let's get through another few words. Of course, you're going to come there to the middle of Arami Ovedali and you're going to stop. This is it. Rabbi Gold got to there. And it's supposed to be actually Yigmar Kola Parsha Kula until you finish the whole Parsha. Been the same out. We were but a few in number. It says, "B'shivim nefesh yorgo alukecha mitzrayma." With 70 souls, your father went down to Egypt. Yato now son, Hashem alukecha kachalpi Hashemayim l'rov. God now has made you into a people who are like the stars, as numerous as the stars in the sky. A number of the Farshim ask a very good question over here. This pasuk, "B'shivim nefesh yorgo alukecha mitzrayma," is written in Sefer Devarim. Why did the Baal HaGadah have to prove that we were a small number of people when we came down? From a pasuk in Devarim, when in Vayigash, when it comes that, when they're coming down, when they come to Mitzrayim, the pasuk lists all of the 70, and it says we were 70 came to Mitzrayim. Why does the Baal HaGadah have to take a pasuk from someplace out there in Devarim? We're right on the spot. We're right on the spot. We have it. Because it means something else. It's not the number 70 that is important over there. They came down with 70. The second part of that pasuk is the important part. The second part of that pasuk says that those 70 became kochavim l'rov. It expresses two ideas. Idea number one is it's talking not only about the small number that became big, but the small number that became big in quality. It's not only quantity, but it's quality. And more than that, there's a Balaturim that says that their growth was so rapid that Yaakov Avinu, in his lifetime, before he died, there were already 600,000 Jews in the sky. Yeah. Swiftly, it was all done quickly. That you'd never know from the pasuk in Parashat Vayigash. There it simply says 70. Here it's 70 that explode into a nation. Vayhi sham l'goy. There they became a nation. Melamed shahoyu yisrael mitzuyonim sham. It comes to teach us that the Jews were a distinct people in Egypt. The word goy comes from the word gav, representing the human body standing upright. There's another word for nation, and that word is am. Am represents the internal cohesiveness of a people in. Each one is with the other, and each one with the other in becomes a totality of a people. Im describes the people as people. Goy represents the people as they stand facing the rest of the world. They became goy, tall, strong, purposeful. They represent something. Gadol Otzum, big and mighty. Now, in some Haggadahs it says, Vayishon Legoi Gadol. So that the word Gadol is describing Goy as well. Gadol Otzum Kumar Shinema, Ubine Yisrael, Paru Vayishnu Tzu Vayibu Vayatmu, Vimaod Miod, Vatimole Horetz Otam. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and became mighty, and the land was full of them. For Rav, Kumar Shinema, Rav, numerous, as written, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, Revovak et Tzemach HaSadeh Metartich, Vatirbi, Vatigdali, Vatovoi, Vaadi Adoyim. I made you as populous as the plants of the field. You grew up and wore choice point adornments. Adi, Adi. Shadayim, next page, continues the this pasuk in Yechezkel. Shadayim, Makomigo, bosom is firm, Usarek, Sineach, and your hair grew long, Vat Erom, the area you were bare and naked. You were bare and naked. It's describing somebody who finds, Yechezkel is describing somebody who finds a child out in the field. Out in the field, naked, bare and naked. Chazal are going to learn that bare and naked means they were bereft of mitzvahs, they had no mitzvahs. And they needed two mitzvahs, and you'll see in a moment. And I passed over you and I saw you wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, you will live in your blood, you will live in your blood. So Chazal say, two mitzvahs related to blood were given to them in Mitzrayim, and that was first of all Dam Mila, circumcision, and then Dam Pesach, the blood of the Korban Pesach. There's something very unique about those two mitzvahs. They are both positive commandments, and they are the only two positive commandments of 248 for which there is a punishment for not fulfilling the mitzvah. All the other 246 positive commandments in the Torah, if you didn't do it, you're bad. But there is no punishment in Torah of lashes or death or anything. Yeah, the Rosh Hashanah will find a way to take care of us. But Pesach and Milah, the halacha is a punishment of courage if one does not fulfill the mitzvah. But Omar, by the way, you must probably remember this passage because this is said by every bris milah of Omar v'damaya chayi, v'Omar v'damaya chayi. And it means even more. It means that the Jewish people very often have to live through blood. They go through difficult, bloody periods in their history and they emerge from those bloody periods alive. Okay, I just want to... And the Egyptians suspected us of evil. I don't like that translation. The word Vayareo means they were bad. The Egyptians were bad to us. Vayanunu. And they tortured us. And they imposed hard labor upon us. Vayareo otono amitrim. Now we have to understand it. There's a problem. If you want to explain it simply, Vayoreo Otanu, they were bad to us, then the Hebrew is not correct. It should say, Vayoreo Lanu HaMitzrim. The Egyptians were bad to us. Vayoreo Otanu HaMitzrim means something else. They said about us that we're bad. They said about us that we were bad. As it says, Kemo Shenemar, Havon Ischakmo, let's deal wisely with them, Pen Yirveh, lest they multiply, V'hoyoki Tigdera Mokoma, when war will happen, V'nosav Kamhu Al Somenu, he will join our enemies, V'nil Kambon will wage war with us, V'olam Ha'aretz, and he will leave the land. What they're saying is, these people can't be trusted. These Jews are a fifth column in our midst. I'm afraid that when I was going over the Haggadah, I had a new painful shot in Vayoreu Otanu HaMitzvim. The Mitzvim led us to believe that we're bad. That's far, 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 far more difficult. You know what you ended up? You ended up with Jews saying, we're guilty of whatever it was. We're occupiers. We're Gustavers. Our soldiers ran wild in Gaza and killed civilians. By Yoreu Otanu HaMitzrim, they led us to believe, and there were those amongst us who believed it.
And still
and still do, and more than at any other time in Jewish history. Remember, there are two things the Medrash says. The Medrash says, why were Jews redeemed from Mitzrayim? They were redeemed from Egypt because they didn't change their garments, they didn't change their names, they didn't change their language. And the Medrash in Vayikra says, V'lo hoyu behem dilatunim. There were not Jews amongst them who spoke ill and lashon hara of the Jewish people. And Rashi brings that when Moshe, second day, he goes out and he comes face to face with Dosan Vavicham. Now I understand why we are suffering. Because there are Dosan Vavichams amongst us who are ready to run to anybody in the world and tell them that a house is being built in Yehuda v'Shomron. You have Jews, unfortunately, so the Eibishter upheaten, Vashem Yerachim Aleihem. Never in history, have we had the phenomenon of so many Jews who believe we're bad. Make a cheshbon of all the organizations, from Shalom Achshav to Yesh Gvul, Yesh Din, Machson Watch, go one after another. It's unbelievable. And when I saw these words by Yoreu Otanu Amitzrim, they convinced us that we're bad. They convinced us that we're bad. And it's at that moment that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Nabuch, Nabuch, now I know why Jews are not being redeemed. But I can't leave it. Can I leave the sheer ending at this point? So you know what? So I'll end the sheer with saying, the cold over there, Chayav Adam Lidus Asatzmo, Ki Elohu Yotzim Mitzrayim, and we thank the Rabbi Shalom that he brought us, Hotzionu Laman Havi Otanu, he took us out in order to bring us to this land. L'tficha, Anachnu Chayavim, Rehotas, Rehalas, Shabeth, have a Chak Pashim, Sameh, everybody. I think I'm running.